It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Freeman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host,
Barnett Bain. Good to be here this morning. I say that every week, and it's always good to be here. Although I'm a little flustered, I've got to say. I'm a little flustered.
Why are you flustered?
Well, let's see if this resonates with you, Freeman. So I'm rushing to get out of the house, make it down to the studio.
Well, that part resonates with me.
Yeah. And I step up to the door, and Sandy is walking around with a cup of tea in her hand, and she is in... My wife's an agent, for any of our listeners that are new to the show. She's on the line early in New York, and she's negotiating a pretty sizable deal.
Right.
And I'm curious, so I'm listening, and I'm hearing... What did you wear?
Right. Those
I'm hearing,
intense negotiations.
I'm hearing about the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hearing about somebody's boyfriend. I'm hearing about vacations.
Yeah.
I'm hearing about mothers-in-law. And I'm dying here. I'm crawling out of myself, and I'm going, what is the bottom?
Cut to the bottom. Where's the money?
Cut to the bottom line. What is the deal? It's so, I still don't know what
That's
it is.
Fantastic.
I left. She waved me off. I think she waved me off while she was hearing about somebody's role as like a sugar plum fairy in the
right.
next school play. It is unbelievably excruciating. Men
yeah.
and women.
Well, it isn't just men and women. Listen, everyone does business differently. And, you know, the reality is if you surround yourself with people who you like doing business with, that personal sense of enjoying them as people, it creates a certain quality in the business environment. I know that that's not typical, and you and I maybe aren't wired as much in that way, but I appreciate that. And I know both men and women.
Well,
who
you're
have
a
that.
Sensitive guy, so
yeah.
I know that you would certainly be
well, and I've
right
run a,
in
I've
that
run,
conversation.
Yeah.
About
no, and I've run a couple companies, and there's a whole part of Jose, who used to be my business manager, we'd walk every morning, and a good part of the walk was just checking in about, you know, his girlfriend in the weekend and what happened and, you know, his brother or whatever.
You're a sensitive dude.
Thank you very much.
I love that
but,
about you.
But we also transitioned and got into what we wanted to do with the day or the week or whatever the conversation was about. I think it's a balance. I think it's really important actually to have that kind of personalized investment and that's a great
it
thing
certainly,
to have in a
it certainly
business relationship.
Takes some developing of awareness of these other styles, and I'm sure that by 4 o'clock when I get home tonight I'll probably walk in just as they are getting down to business.
Right.
So that I'm not missing
right.
I'm not missing a thing, which is a really terrific segue as this works out, as life would have it,
yeah.
with our guest today. So I want to jump in there because the clock is ticking. We have with us today Dr. Ivan Meisner, who is the founder and chairman of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization with more than 6,000 chapters. I think that's more chapters than we have, isn't it?
It's a couple more.
A couple more. Dr. Meisner is a New York Times best-selling author. He's written 16 books.
Wow.
Including the number one bestseller, Networking Like a Pro, which I have, and I promise Ivan I'm going to read it at some point. And I am really thrilled to call him a friend and to have him here with us today on Cutting Edge Consciousness. Ivan, how are you?
I am doing great. If I were doing any better, I'd cancel my life insurance.
Well,
I can't actually do that because he's a BNI member. So.
Yeah, you may want to talk that through first. Yeah. And don't get Sandy and Beth into the conversation, or it'll be Wednesday by the time you make a decision.
That's right.
So what about this whole thing, Ivan, this sort of this distinction between, I know as you put it, men are transactional and women are relational.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the big things that we found in the book. And what I teach with networking, we teach what we call the VCP process, visibility, credibility, profitability.
Hang on one second. Before you go into the VCP process, I want to just lay up front for our audience that we're going to talk today about Ivan's new book, Business Networking and Sex.
Yeah, get that in there.
So one of those subjects I know very little about, and the other one I don't know a lot more. But it's not what you think, and we're going to have Ivan unpack that first with the VCP process.
Go back. Ivan, VCP. Yeah.
VCP.
Tell us about it.
Well, the book, People, Not What You Think, is really important. It's about gender, the difference between men and women. But a title, you know, we played around with a title with gender, but business networking and gender, you know, wait a minute, can you hear the cricket? Nobody would pick that book up. So we with business networking and sex, and talked about the difference between men and women. And we went into this thinking that men and women in the VCP process would differ. It's a chronological process. It begins with visibility. People have to know who you are and what you do. If you want to build relationships, you got to first be visible. But then you establish credibility. That's where people know who you are, they know what you do, and they know you're good at it. And then you can move to profitability, where people know who you are, they know what you do, they know you're good at it, and they're willing to pass you business and build a professional relationship with you over time. We thought, going into this, that women would go from visibility to credibility and get caught up in credibility and have a tendency, more than men, to not close the deal, to not ask for the sale.
But you took a survey on this.
We did. This was based on a survey of 12,000 people all over the world, every populated continent. Hmm. And then we thought that men would have a tendency to go from visibility and try to go right to profitability, to go right to the deal. Mm-hmm. And it played out exactly that way, that women are more likely than men to get caught up into credibility and a little less likely to close the deal or ask for the sale. And men, man, they go right for profitability. Hazel, one of my co-authors, she likes to say, ladies, we've dated those guys.
Yes.
They're going right for profitability. So, yeah, men tend to be transactional. Women tend to be more relational, exactly as you laid out in your opening. We had one respondent who said, this is a quote, men seem to be more hesitant to build deep relationships, and women tend to focus too much on everything but business.
Yeah, and it begs an interesting, you know, point that, you know, there's an element of balance. Obviously, if someone is jumping the credibility component, they're skipping from hi, how are you to the altar. There's a disconnect. There's an imbalance, and the same is true if someone spends a lot of time in the credibility and never actually moves to closing the deal. And so the opportunity with the book, from my perspective, is to really look at these aspects within ourselves, of course. And really do some repair work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it turns out that one of those two approaches, transactional versus relational, is much better. That one is going to get you a lot more business than the other.
Mm-hmm. The farming, as you put it.
Yep, networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. And what we found was that people who tended to focus on building the relationship, whether they were a man or a woman, ended up doing much better in generating referrals than those people who just focused on the transaction.
You know, it's interesting. Okay, go ahead, Barnett.
There are some practical. I'd like to ground this in the practicality of networking or dating, for that matter. There are some practical matters here. In the book, I was amazed that this seems so obvious, but only once it's pointed out. That men have a tendency in a networking situation to display their chauvinism or their status orientation or to sexualize women. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not as likely to look into their eyes as to maybe to look somewhere else. And
the name badge conundrum.
That's right. I was just trying to get your name right.
The name badge. The name badge conundrum. And this is a really big deal. I had no idea how pervasive a problem this was, what a big challenge this was for women, and how deeply they felt about it, and how aware they are.
And can we say a deep challenge for guys? Look, I don't want to be that guy. I mean, I get that a lot of us are conditioned to do that stuff, but that's not the behavior I want to exhibit personally. So I think it's a challenge for everybody.
Well, what do you think, Ivan?
Well, we found something, we came up with something that I think is really interesting, because when we looked at the objective data between men and women, and you know, again, this is based on 12,000 surveys, and the way the whole book is laid out is I start off by saying, this is what the survey says, and I try to do it in a gender-neutral way. And then Frank Durafley, my co-author, says, he has the he says. So here's what the men say, and then Hazel will say, here's what the women say, and they have anything but a gender-neutral perspective. And we were a little concerned that when we first saw the data, you know, it's like saying Mars and Venus aren't two different planets, they're two different cities in the same county. They were pretty close in a lot of areas.
Right.
And then we did something interesting. We looked at the open-ended answers, and the open-ended answers will address your question. We got 1,000 open-ended responses where people commented, where we said, tell us a story about networking with the opposite sex. And my goodness, what a huge difference between men and women. I mean, you talk about the problem of men sexualizing women. You know, you had no idea until you read some of this data. For example, there was 4 comments in a row. Ironically, 4 in a row. First 3 were women, last one's a guy. First 3 say things like, I hate going to, and they're women. I hate going to networking events. Men are pigs. I find networking very frustrating. All they want is a date. Men just want a date. They go there and they're looking for a date. Three of them in a row. Woman, 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 very upset. 4th one's a guy. He says, I love networking events. They're a great way to pick up chicks. On behalf of men everywhere, I would like to apologize.
Because this is the exception rather than the rule, right?
But it stigmatizes men across the board.
That's right. That's accurate.
Is we found that the exception becomes the perception.
Yes.
The exception becomes the perception. We call it the 98-2 rule. That 98% of the men in a networking environment behave professionally. But that 2% who don't really ruin it for everyone else, because what are the women talking about? They're talking about those few men who behave badly. Let's flip that. Let's talk about dressing provocatively. We had a lot of women who complained about women dressing provocatively. We had men complain about women. Well, actually, they didn't complain, but they commented on women dressing provocatively. But really, do most women in a business environment dress provocatively?
Right, no, of course not.
It's the handful. It's that 2%. So it's that the exception becomes the perception is a key element in this book.
Now, men, again, to pursue this of hunting v. farming metaphor, men are traditionally full of will and action.
Yeah.
And as you said, they want to go right to profitability. And so they are more likely to be comfortable, maybe inappropriately, overly comfortable about the ask.
Yeah, no question about it. And we saw that in the results. We also learned a lot in doing some interviews with experts in the area. A mutual friend of ours, Dr. John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, really contributed a lot to the book. And when we told him that men had that tendency, he wasn't at all surprised. And he said, look, it's not all their fault. It's part biology. The part of the problem truly is biology, because with men, when you solve problems, when you're in a competitive situation and you try to fix that problem, which is in this case, you know, make sales, that actually increases testosterone, which reduces stress.
Yeah.
And that collaborative behavior increases estrogen in men, and, well, you know what happens when you've got men with too much estrogen around. It doesn't go well. It actually increases stress. And so a collaboration is actually biologically more difficult, and it played out in what we saw in terms of men and women in networking.
Well, I think that the challenge here is to recognize, similar to what you were talking about, how the exception becomes the perception, is that the tendency, which we can point to and say, here are all the reasons for the tendency, it's still a tendency, and it doesn't mean it's a hard, fast rule that has no potential to change.
No, it's not a hard, fast rule.
Right.
There are a lot of men who are very collaborative, and you have to remember that when you're looking at statistical data, the data that we talk about was statistically significant, which means that, you know, there's less than a 5% chance of error. But that if you're talking about averages in anything, generally speaking, half are above the average and half are below the average. So, that doesn't mean that all men are that way by any stretch of the imagination, but they're more likely to be than a woman.
More likely to be, right.
Well, we're going to step away and pay a couple of bills. When we come back in a minute, I want to talk to you, Ivan, about the story of Paul and Jacqueline. So if it says you better run for your book, Ivan, and refresh yourself.
That's right. We
will be right back.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And And welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with Barnett Bain. And before we went to break, Barnett, you were asking our guest a very important question.
There was a terrific story that pointed to the pitfalls of being overly transactional, being overly committed to one's narrow belief system.
Mm.
And just what happens when one can temper that with a sincere relational interest. So it brings to mind a story in the book, and it's the story of Paul and Jacqueline. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I think it's Lori. Paul and Lori.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I believe it's Frank's story, and it's his experience that he had in a BNI chapter. And
Frank is your co-author of the book.
Frank is the co-author of the book, and he does the material in it about the he says. And one of the things that the point that he's trying to make is that sometimes in networking scenarios, we don't take people seriously, whether it's a man or a woman. And that particularly some women's professions are notorious for men not taking them seriously. Men are notorious for not taking certain professions seriously. And this was a Mary Kay consultant.
Mm.
And she wanted to join a networking group. And Paul, who was an architect, said, you know, we don't need a Mary Kay consultant in this group. We need a higher level person. And the group, as I recall, they let her in. But the funny thing is that she ended up giving a referral that landed Paul a contract to build a series of restaurants all across the United States.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Biggest contract of his life.
And he almost didn't let her in the group.
Mm.
Yeah, so
that's a huge piece.
This is an enormous, enormous piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things we've talked about on this show, and when we're talking about networking, this really pertains, is that Barnett and I both work a lot with intention. Ivan, I'm sure you do as well. And it's not the intention in terms of what's the result, what's the outcome we're looking for, but more, what is the quality that we're working to generate?
What can I give?
Yeah, what can I give versus what can I get? And it's really about showing up in a particular way. And I think that this story really illustrates that if we're able to be generous in our interaction and able to connect and bond with people, then all manner of possibility opens up, and it's impossible to know what's going to come, but that's not important. It's what we're generating, right?
It is. There's actually, in social capital theory, there's actually a concept called the law of reciprocity.
Right.
And the law of reciprocity is sort of a law that, you know, the sum of the whole is greater than the individual parts. That by helping other people, you will be helped in return. And Barnett knows I'm probably not much of a New Age kind of guy. And it feels a little New Agey, but I can absolutely attest to the fact that it works. I see it every single day.
Well,
where people who get together and by cooperating and collaborating, they actually generate a whole lot more business than if they were out there on their own doing it themselves.
And Barnett and I aren't New Agey. I see the principles that we orient towards as being incredibly practical. And as Barnett has demonstrated in the film industry, you know, making these major motion pictures, it's critical that the intention is clear and that you're generating equality. Right, Barnett?
It's critical that you have a sense of vision and where you're going.
Yeah.
More so, I mean, I always refer back to, I'm a surfer as well, and it took me a very long time to deprogram my body, my habitual response, and to be able to look where I want to go rather than where I am. And that is very much a piece of what is in this this incredible book, Business Networking and Sex, that networking is as much about planting seeds for the future as it is about anything else.
There's no doubt about that. It's about filling a long-term pipeline of business and relationships. I'll give you an example. I met a gentleman 27 years ago. He's a founding member of the founding chapter of the network that I started, and he was so successful, I didn't think he would join. And I asked him afterwards, I said, you know, Mike, I'm curious, why did you join this networking group? Because you have a very successful business. And he put his arm on my shoulder and he said, kid, he's a few years older than me, he said, kid, let me explain how this works. It's always about filling that pipeline and building those relationships because it takes time for those relationships to gel and come out the other side of his business. And so I said, okay, well, that's good. Well, he's my financial planner. He's the guy that I wouldn't actually sell my or cancel my life insurance with. So
that's right.
I won't actually do that. So I saw him a few years ago. He's in the organization now for over 20 years. And I said, Mike, you're still in the group. I'm curious. After 20 years, I'm happy that you're still in, but why? And I'll be damned if he didn't put his hand on my shoulder again and say, as I recall, I said something like, kid, let me explain how this works. It's about building those long-term relationships. And he said, 20 years later, it hasn't changed. Pipeline's bigger, relationships are greater, but it still takes a long time, and you got to be constantly filling that pipeline and building the relationships if you want to be successful.
And I think that, you know, one of the great business minds in the sort of the crossover, if you will, of what might be called New Age, though I resist that label, and
the next stage
in the traditional business is Jim Rohn. And he's the one that said, if you want to increase your value, you work on yourself. And I think that's a big piece, is that, you know, when we recognize that we're going into situations with, let's say, an agenda versus really, you know, connecting with people and making, you know, more of a relational, you know, an attempt to be more relational. When we recognize those pieces, the critical part is to do something, you know, not just to go, oh, yeah, I'm that way, but to begin to go, wow, do I really want to be that way? What's the quality in the experiences that I want to generate? What's the quality that ultimately really feeds me? And that, I think, becomes the motivation to explore maybe some of the stuff that Barnett might be into, you know, some of the stuff about how do I want to be in the world? What do I want to envision for my life from a quality and an essence standpoint?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point. You know, business benefits when men and women bridge the gender gap, and the way to bridge the gender gap is to work on yourself, to
yeah.
learn how, you know, what are you likely to be doing? What's your tendency and how to change that? And I think my goal with this was to help kind of hold up a mirror to both men and women and say, here's what's usually happening in the way a man approaches it and the way a woman approaches it, and can you improve it and how?
Yeah, I love it.
That's what this is really all about.
So currently BNI is delivering value to members in over 6,000 chapters in every corner of the world.
It's incredible.
And here's what it brings up for me. It's challenging enough to get a handle on the style differences between men and women. Now compound that into every corner, every corner of the world. So how are you slicing this up in Kazakhstan or Tokyo?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that the BNI program operates very much the same in all countries. One of the things that we have discovered is that, you know, there's definitely are differences culturally, no question about it, but there's one culture that transcends regional cultures, and that's the culture of entrepreneurism. Entrepreneurs tend to have similar needs across borders, mm-hmm. and the core to that is the whole issue of trust. There is no country where trust is not the cornerstone when you're talking about small business and referrals and networking.
Well, I have a question for you, a specific question. Here's what happened to me. Some time ago, my lawyer introduced me to a Japanese businessman.
Yeah.
And we went through the visibility stage and through the V stage and the C stage.
Yeah.
This has been going on for years now. The only one that's doing well on this is my lawyer. In terms
yeah.
of, so I'm still waiting for the profitability stage.
And you feel like it's a cultural divide. You feel like there's an issue.
I'm pretty sure at this point
yeah.
that it's a cultural divide. I don't know how to say, can we, it's like me and Sandy, can we really get down to brass tacks in Japanese within the decade?
I understand. You brought it up within the context of BNI, and here's the key, is that we don't have people who are doing business with people from other countries. It's all the business that's being done locally.
So you have no help.
It's apples and apples.
Yeah. So you have Japanese business people doing business with Japanese business people. But what we have is an overlay on top of that culture on a system, a mechanism to apply it within the cultural context, not outside the cultural context,
Brilliant.
But between cultures.
So
that's why our program has worked so well.
Brilliant.
All done within the cultural
context. So that is a whole key to the success of the program.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That makes sense.
Brilliant.
Well, you know, this piece about trust is really interesting because this relates to something we've talked about on this show, is to the degree that I integrate and balance, repair, put back together these sort of parts of myself that get fragmented, I become more and more trustworthy. And so I know I'm sort of harping on this piece about how we work on ourselves, but I feel like the book, again, as you've said, it's a mirror to help people recognize maybe some conditionalized or programmed imbalances that maybe we've bought into that we might want to repair so we become more effective and ultimately happier. Because isn't that the end that we're looking for, is that when we are engaged in, you know, constructive and positive business relationships, it isn't, the bottom line isn't the dollar. The bottom line is the goodwill. The bottom line is the relational piece, right?
It is, and how we develop a relationship and what is a relationship definitely varies from men and women, and how they make that connection is different. I interviewed one woman who says, you know, I discovered years, she said, I read the sports page every day. I said, Susan, I know you don't like sports. She said, I hate sports. I said, so why do you read the sports page? She said, because the only way I can start a connection that can build into a relationship with men is to know what's going on in sports.
That's fun.
How about that lingerie sale?
Yeah, we need to read the Victoria's Secret magazine.
Let's flip that for a second. How many men are picking up Cosmo and Home and Garden, which are the top two magazines for women, and reading those so they can have a conversation with women? I think women are better at adjusting their behavior based on the numbers, based on the surveys, based on the data. Women are better at adjusting their behavior to fit men than men are to fit women.
Well, here's a question about adjusting behavior. So your co-writer, Hazel Walker, writes at some point that she has a standard opening gambit and a standard opening question. She says, what can I do to help you or either in your life or your business? She then kind of goes on to say, and I'm paraphrasing, that basically that given that trust is earned, she's bemused by the answers she gets, because people prematurely jump to the profitability stage and they say, well, you know, make me a referral. But what is the appropriate answer to that? What would be the appropriate answer to that, and what would be the most empowered expectation that Hazel could have of making a question like that?
Well, I think you want to ask that question when you feel comfortable that the person's not going to take advantage of it, which means you need to ask a number of other questions first, in my opinion. You got to lay it up, find out about the person. The question I prefer really is, what are some challenges that you're having in your business? Because, I mean, you can't start with that. You can't say, hi, Barnett, my name's Ivan. What are some of the challenges you're having in your business?
Right.
You know, who are you and why are you asking this?
Right.
So when you're meeting people for the first time, you ask them, so tell me about what you do. What's your target market? What kind of clients do you work with? What's a good referral for you? How do you market your business? You know, whatever questions you're going to ask to find out about them. Then you want to end it with, what are some of the challenges you have in this business? And if they feel comfortable with you, they're going to tell you. And if they tell you something,
you can follow up.
That gives you an opportunity to follow up. That gives you an opportunity to say, and I'm not saying, oh, I have just the product that will help you with that. Let me sell it to you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, if you hear something that someone says, you go, gee, I think I might know somebody who could help you with that. You know, if you're interested, I'd be glad to give you a name to them or give you their name. I can't tell you how many referrals I've given to people by asking that question. Then I make two people happy. This person I just met, now there's an inkling of a relationship because I've just helped them. And, of course, the person that I've referred, which I have a relationship with and I'm at profitability with already, and I'm giving them more business. It's a win-win.
Fantastic. Well, listen, the book is amazing.
Business, yep. Networking, and Sex, Not What You Think, by Dr. Ivan Meisner. Can you give our audience a heads up on where they can learn more about you, about business networking and sex, about BNI?
You bet. BNI.com. We do have 6,200 chapters. We last year passed 6.8 million referrals, generated $3 billion worth of business for our members.
Wow.
Referrals.
Wow.
$3 billion. Just so you know, guys, that's the same as the gross domestic product for the country of Liechtenstein. It's a small country still, but how cool is it that
the Liechtensteinians need to take a little lesson from you. I think they need to go to some BMI chapters.
No kidding.
Liechtenstein is a BMI.
That's
BNI BNI.com. It stands for Business Network International, BNI.com. And we have a website for the book that you can download a free chapter, Business Networking and Sex.
The book is terrific, folks. We don't always say that, offer that here on this show, but we're saying it now. The book is terrific, and you'll learn an awful lot about business networking, and quite frankly, you will learn an awful lot about relating to the opposite sex.
Ivan, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, and of course, we look forward to having you back in the future. And for those of you listening, stay tuned, because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host, Barnett Bain. That was interesting.
He is an amazing guy, really a brilliant guy, and entertaining, and man, what a pro. He really knows his way around this whole networking thing, and it drills down below business networking. It really is, there are really the very same lessons to be extracted from the book Business Networking and Sex. The same lessons apply to the relationships between men and women across the board.
I agree. I feel like, you know, look, business is a really important arena to look at our patterns and look at the things that are showing up in our lives, these imbalances. You know, when people are struggling in their business, the opportunity in whatever the challenge is the orientation that I offer to them. You know, I do.
We have a saying here on this show, nothing changes until I do.
Right. And we have another thing that we talk about, that responsibility is the ability to respond. So to the degree we can own what's showing up in our experience, we can do something to change it. And that's the generous offer, because if we find that we're going into these social settings, these networking settings with an agenda, and it's not working out so well, we want to be aware of the imbalance, whatever the push is underneath it, you know, the idea that we have to get to the sale, always be closing. And a lot of that stuff is not only not helpful in that arena, it speaks of a larger imbalance in our lives.
It's a delicate act to perform. It's a circus act. It is getting a couple of plates spinning simultaneously. Get that one going, spin it, and get another one going, spin it, and keep them all going. Because it isn't a one or the other, and women have a tendency to be able to hold these co-fusions more easily than men, who get confused rather than co-fused.
Yeah.
Men traditionally are pretty cut and dried. It's this or that, not so much this and that.
Yeah, well, this is the dimensional perspective, or we see things dimensionally.
Yeah. And we have the ability, we generate an ability to walk into a relationship with the intention of generating profitability in business, true, and simultaneously the intention to be giving, a giver, to afford visibility to other people, to make them feel seen, known, that they mattered, from a place of sincerity, that you're trying to contribute to your community, that you're there to add value and to be of service. And to be a giver as well as a receiver, which is a pretty big distinction. There's a big distinction between being a receiver and being a getter. What can I get?
Yeah. Well, that getting energy is a losing proposition.
It's a losing proposition. You got to hold them all simultaneously.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you know, it's interesting, but paradoxically, the orientation or the fixation on winning is the trip cord. So many of us, especially men, were competitive as kids, were in competitive sports. The whole programming is you got to win. And what the women becoming so predominant in the workforce. And it's interesting. There's an article, and I'm remembering.
I read that article in the New Yorker Yorker magazine. Fabulous article.
Yeah, and they're talking about how women are really becoming very more successful. The rate of women becoming executives and stepping into leadership roles
in certain environments.
Well, but there's a quality in the way that they interact. There's a certain capacity they have for building this kind of I'm going to call it goodwill. The interesting part about goodwill, you know, it's a line item on a balance sheet. So when I look at my company, I do my analysis, one of the line items is goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important one. And I feel, in this moment in time, goodwill is the new bottom line. I mean, what you create and what you generate in terms of real, sincere relationships, this trustworthy factor, is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I just the other day, I go on Yelp all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's a business near us that we had some problems with. And I pulled it up, and I looked at how many comments were negative. And it's a cleaners, and there's a cleaners across the street. And I'm seeing how many more people go to the new cleaners. Now that is really indicative of today. Goodwill is the new bottom line, because what's the first thing you do before you do business with somebody or some company? You pull them up. And so now you start to think about, wow. I mean, really, if you don't build strong, solid relationships, if you're not really in it for the relational part.
And it's a muscle.
Right.
It's a muscle. For many, maybe possibly most, this is not the habituated response to life. So it is a new muscle and like any muscle, it has to be worked or it atrophies. To be able to be in community, to see yourself and your business as contributing to the well-being of the greater whole.
That's it.
To be able to farm for business, as Ivan puts it, rather than hunt for business. Mm. To be in it for in the long term, generating relationships, not just for what you can get, but what you can give. Eventually, what happens, out of my own experience,
sure,
is the relationships become paramount, and the business becomes an exciting and productive backdrop against which we do relationships, and yeah. The business becomes the vehicle to do that, and the vehicle to support ourselves and to support our loved ones and to express our passions and our joys and our connections, but ultimately it's relational. You have to have them both going at the same time, and it requires some practice.
Well, and requires some tools. I'll give a tool right now. You know, I'm doing the weight release piece again, and whenever I review that, I go back to my book and mm-hmm. start looking at all the exercises and mm-hmm. the workbook as well. And one of the pieces I teach in the book is the carefronting process. And carefronting is very interesting because this speaks again to that winning piece. A lot of us men have this winning thing. And so the tendency in the confronting is to make the other person wrong. Carefronting is a very different orientation. I'll even demonstrate it. So, for example, instead of saying, you know, you know, Barnett, you were a jerk yesterday, I would say, you know, Barnett, you're one of my best friends. I really care about our relationship, and I don't want there to be any confusion between us. So I want to talk about what happened yesterday. It's very different to approach that kind of intention to reconnect versus...
You're creating a safe space. You're valuing relationship before you are valuing negative impact.
Exactly. So literally, there are tools to be learned. And there's, thankfully, Ivan and others are publishing books that help people. I mean, I see more and more the business books being... what was the word you used instead of New Age?
Next age.
That it's more next age.
They're getting a little warm and fuzzy.
They're getting more warm and fuzzy. Well, they're getting.
And that's
more
a good thing because they are beginning to dip down, as business networking and sex does. It begins to dip down underneath the surface of things to inquire and to empower people about the drivers of things.
That's it.
So that we are not simply splashing around in our habits and wondering what went wrong.
Right.
But we're sort of taking a periscope and looking underwater. Periscopes don't look underwater. They look above water,
yeah,
right?
It's okay.
So
I still understand
snorkel,
what you're talking about.
We're now snorkeling under the surface of things and beginning to add More tools, more awareness, more resources, more consciousness about how, who and what we bring to business, to relationships.
And the big offer is that the accurate measure of success, from my perspective, is fulfillment. So as we begin to say, what do I want to be generating on a quality level? What do I want this business to be an expression of consciously? I want my business to be an expression of the people, a collaboration with people I like. There's these other qualities that become really important. Yeah. And what this book is basically demonstrating, and other books of this kind, is that that actually is foundational to good business.
Yeah.
You know?
And you come out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It is my desire to be known, not simply as a good businessman. I do want to be known as a good businessman, but I want to be known as a good businessman who valued people, who made a difference, was passionate about life, who threw himself in 110%, who showed up and was not only there for what I could get.
Yeah.
And believe me, there are days that go by when I am all about what can I get, and it is a natural human state to be self-absorbed and to have moments of where we're driven by our opportunism, but it is a balancing act, and comes a point when it is no longer an effort, but the engagement with other people is the joy and is the reward all by itself, and then everything flourishes. Certainly business flourishes.
And business, when it's I don't want to say done right, because I don't want to get into that either or thing, but I'm going to use that language because it's the easiest way to say it. Business done right is adding value and quality to people's lives.
It's the most creative. From my perspective, business is perhaps the major expression of creativity and community in certainly in America today, and probably the world.
That is such a great thing, Barnett, what you just said. And I've heard you say it before, but that is absolutely important to recognize, because I feel right now, and I know we're ending the show soon. I don't want to get into a big conversation, but so much of this reaction to the imbalances in business, the greed and so forth, then casts business in this, you know, sort of, It throws out the baby with the bathwater. It's like, oh yeah, well, business, you know, business people, and that's just uninformed. That's just not seeing things dimensionally enough. Yes, there's been a lot of bad business that's gone on, no question about it, but the opportunity is to balance that out and recognize that business has this tremendous potential to be life-affirming and life-supportive and generative and generous, and it's a wonderful creative expression of who and what we are.
Business is about service.
I agree with you.
That is all it is about. As Ivan
good
said, occasionally...
Good and service, right?
Good and service.
Yeah.
How did he put it? He put it so beautifully that something about perception...
Oh, yeah. The exception is the perception.
The exception becomes the perception.
That's exactly
so
right.
There are a few extremely toxic eggs...
Absolutely.
Whose lust for personal gain and status... is unbound,
right.
And it creates a perception. Fortunately, that is not the case around business, networking, and sex. Not what you think. And we hope that our listeners will check that out.
Yeah. And we're
at the end of our.
Well, we don't know yet. We're still working out. We're looking to our engineer. How many minutes we got left, Bob?
We've gone 12 minutes.
All right, we've got 7 minutes left. We can
still keep talking. Wow, we can crank it all
Six
up
minutes.
Again.
Crank it all up again.
Let's start over.
Up. Well, let's not start over, but I think that one of the things that I want to just say, based on this conversation, and this isn't new to me, I've been very aware of it, is it's always going into, let's call them networking situations, going into networking situations, I really want to hold a quality in my intention to connect with people. And it's more important for me to connect with one or two people than to, let's say, meet 50 people and hand out 50 cards. I think that that distinction is really important, just as an adjustment. I realize we spoke very deeply before we got confused about how much time we have, before we got lost. We're speaking very deeply, and I'm speaking more on a superficial level. But it's okay. These minor adjustments can be deeply rooted in the quality that we want. So I'm just talking again about maybe a tool or a skill or a choice. So for me, this one choice out of this conversation that I want to take away, my takeaway today, is my next social / business setting, I want to make one or two connections versus try to work through them. And I already feel that way. I feel like I'm already oriented that way, but I want to up it. Because even if it's something that I do, I want to be more conscious that that's what I'm doing. That's just one piece of today's conversation that I want to take.
That's an interesting, that's a really interesting point you make. Very often, I find myself, when I'm in large rooms, I find my energy gets frantic.
Yeah.
And I start to become a hummingbird.
Mm.
And I flit. And it is, as I slow down right now in real time.
Yeah.
What's true is that there is some, I'm gasping now for breath, there is some part of me that gets triggered and says, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss some opportunity.
Oh,
I'm going
funny.
To.
We talked about this. Remember we went to that premiere and we had a hamburger afterwards? We were talking about this exact thing, that party that comes up that feels like you're going to miss something.
You're going to miss something.
Though I'll tell you, in that conversation, I had said to you that I really responded to how you connected with various people, because you do. You connect very quickly with people. And that's based, again, on having this past history, which is what the conversation is about. In other words, if you have deep history with people, you can go to a social setting and make very instant connections, which is beautiful. Then maybe you can mingle, let's say, with a lot.
You're talking about a mixer where you're familiar with people.
Right.
Yes.
Well, we were at a premiere.
We were at a movie premiere. So we were familiar with a lot of people.
You were. I wasn't. That's all right. I enjoyed being there with you as my friend and watching the whole thing. But I didn't mean to cut you off.
That sometimes happens the other way, too. If it's new people, I'll either get very shy and anxious. And then there's a different kind of hummingbird franticness. And if it's with... I was at a retreat last week, and in fact, Ivan was there as well, and with about 100 of my closest friends. And that's really an environment where it's a different kind of franticness. It's there's such a hunger to connect with so many people, all of whom I have such a... Most of whom I'll correct, some of whom I have yet to develop that kind of relationship with, but most of whom I have such a depth of connection with, and it is so it's so wonderful to be around them that it reminds me of being a little kid, and you just cannot get enough cookies.
Right.
Halloween, right?
That's
you
right.
come in Halloween, and it's just you got to go plow through the whole bag that night.
Yeah. So that was your event that you went to. That's how you felt about it.
How I feel about it. And
it was like Halloween.
That is sometimes how I feel in networking events around communities that I am close to.
Sure.
And similar, but the other side of the coin around in communities that I'm a stranger to. Then I feel frantic in that.
You know what I love about this conversation? Because there's a part of me thinking, wow, we just tied nothing together. But I actually do see in this a really wonderful piece of the puzzle, which is in one person, many people. That there are aspects of us, and this has been a part of this conversation, for the last year and a half, is that I watch these aspects of me get expressed. I watch them show up in particular arenas, and I watch what comes out. The big trick for me over the last year and a half has been to regulate that a little bit. So I'm a lot more aware of what parts of me get triggered and what aspect of me, jumps into the front seat and starts driving the bus, as it were. And in certain settings, like I can even see going into a certain setting, like, wow, how do I want to be with myself so that I'm aware, so I'm not being triggered, or if I am triggered, that I have somewhere to go with it, versus just, flipping into the adaptive, pattern of behavior, whatever the heck we do when we feel triggered by... I want people to know me, or I want to connect with people, whatever it is. So there's a sense of preparation. So I'm really in a kind of consciousness and awareness where I'm more able to direct my experience than simply, feel like I'm on the ride, being bounced around like a pinball.
Yeah.
Hey, with that, we need to wrap up. I want to again give the name of the book. I know you did, but it again is...
It is called... Business Networking and Sex, not what you think.
Yeah, and I want to ask all of you who are listening, if you enjoy the show, you know, please connect with us. We've got the Facebook page. Of course, you can subscribe on our cuttingedgeconsciousness.com channel, and then you can get all of the podcasts when they go up. They will come to you, or there'll be a link that comes to you that you can click on so you can be aware of our show.
Or visit us on Facebook and like our page.
I mentioned
like to be like.
And please share it with friends, because that really is how this works. We're very grateful to those of you who have. We have a wonderful network of folks who now tune in regularly, and we want to grow that. So thanks again for listening today, and we invite you to keep coming back, too.
See you next week.
Cutting Edge Consciousness.